Outcomes, a podcast for the P&O community. Thank you for joining us. My name is Jeff Newell, your host of this episode. We have a fantastic show lined up today. We have a certified process orthotist, Jesse Cornell, who I've known for quite a number of years. I hate to say how long, Jesse, because it's getting us both old. Yeah. He's with us today, and we're going to discuss different opportunities within the P&O community. Jesse has been a practicing CPO for over 20 years and opened up Biodesign Prosthetics and Orthotics in the year 2019. He has also two startup ventures, Simply P&O, which is a facility management software, and Black Octopus Limited, which is manufactures orthotic devices for other facilities. He's also the former president of OPC as well. Thanks, Jesse, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. I do have to correct you. I think you're dating a bit with 20 years experience, but I think I've been practicing as a CPO for 15, maybe a little more.
15? Okay. Yeah. But you have the experience of a 21. Of
100%. 100%.
All right. So you started Biodesign 13 years ago.
Yes.
And you're still running that company now as we speak.
Yes.
At what point did you say to yourself, there is more to this than just being a CPO?
So I love being a CPO. I've always been an entrepreneur from a young age, I guess. It's always been my calling, you know, and I never question my choices, you know, but there are times that you sit back and you say, wow, it's been 13 years and I'm still working late hours or stressing about one thing or another. So I think really what brought me into Black Octopus and Simply P&O was just that entrepreneurship at heart type personality.
Mm-hmm. That's great. You say you're tired of working long hours, but I'm sure you're working a lot of hours now still.
Yeah. So it doesn't really slow down, I don't think, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner. You know, there are late nights still. So I try to take that in stride. So I do enjoy it. And I try to balance that that work-life time. So, but yeah, I really, really enjoy the entrepreneurship aspect of it. I really enjoy, you know, working as a CPO, and I respect my fellow orthotists and prosthetists and what they do out there, you know, and I'm very passionate about what I do. And if there's something that we do or create and it's a benefit to others, then I feel that this should be, you know, looked at and potentially offered. So there needs to be value in what you're providing to make it something that someone or some organization can use. So again, that's really what we're aiming to do with Black Octopus and Simply P&O.
Usually a path for those in our field looking to diversify usually have two paths, either creating or inventing a new product or more into a lab situation, manufacturing devices for other facilities. You decided to do both.
Yeah. So I started, just to give you a bit of background, I started Biodesign in 2010 and then quickly determined that, paper charting was antiquated. I needed software to help those operations. I looked around to see what was out there. There was nothing really that fit the bill. So in the evenings and after work, I started to create a database that would do the things I needed it to do. So from there, we slowly evolved into the database, into something that, you know, I thought the Canadian clinicians could benefit from. I just assumed if it was benefiting my organization, then there is a possibility that this would benefit others. So about three or yeah. So that's really what we did there.
Okay. So is this primarily designed for the Canadian, you know, or has it branched out into the U.S. as well?
No, currently it's exclusive to the Canadian P&O community. The likelihood that there may be a potential to branch out into the U.S. market, but for now, really the main goal was to provide something to Canadian P&O practitioners that they could utilize. And the challenges with the Canadian market is that there's so much variance with regards to funding provincially. That was a big challenge to overcome. So as we enter into new provinces, we then design around the needs of those particular provinces. So at the present, the goal was never to enter the U.S. market. It was more to offer a solution to the Canadian market, maybe leave a bit of a legacy down the road. And that's where we're at today.
So you have a different segment then for each province then, or a different package for each province?
Yeah. So when it comes down to billing and different funding forms, items like that and the way that the system operates relative to the different articles that we sell to our clients, the system's functionality operates in and around those variances between province and province.
Yeah, I know my role here at Ortoped, that's a very tricky line to walk because every province is almost like a new country
right.
As far as funding goes.
Right.
Okay, well, what about Black Octopus? How did you get that up and going?
So Black Octopus, it was always on my to-do list. It was always something that I wanted to do. You know, my background was in the technical program. I did the technical program, and I had good hand skills. So that was one of my, I guess, my bucket list items that I wanted to do. I think we produce some great products, and I think we have fair prices. And I thought if we can help other colleagues, now would be a good time to do that. So Black Octopus has the benefit of many years of manufacturing resources through BioDesign, and it can produce, you know, one-off Pinot treatments at a production scale utilizing various technologies. So yeah, it was just a bucket list item that I wanted to do, and I think, you know, our attention to detail and the products we provide, I just think that if we can share those with other members in the Pinot community, then that would be possibly an asset to them. So.
Well, I can attest firsthand. I've seen the quality of your guys' work, and it's second to none. Well,
thanks, Jeff. That's very kind.
Question. So you touched on this a little bit regarding some of the challenges or the hurdles that you've had. What are some of the ones that really stand out to you that you really had to work at to get over?
Yeah. So, I mean, typically at the start, I mean, and this is also kind of referring back to BioDesign, I think there's typically a large financial risk, you know, especially in the current economical landscape, that if you are looking to do a startup or open operations, that, you know, these are some of the hurdles that you face. I mean, it impacts family life, quality of life in general, I mean, with late hours and stress. So I think it's important to, you know, manage that work-life balance. There's lots of unforeseen obstacles. And I mean, as much as you can plan and predict, there are always challenges that you'll need to have that strong entrepreneurship skills to help overcome those challenges. I'm sure I could go on and on about the challenges, but I honestly don't think we have enough time in this podcast.
No, I know. But you're exactly right. It doesn't matter what type of plan or project you have. There's always other things that pop up down the road that you never thought was, oh, shoot, I forgot about that.
So,
I don't think too much different there for sure. Which part of the process of starting and running these ventures do you think was the most fulfilling?
What's the most fulfilling? To be honest with you, I really like being on. I like always being on, you know, constantly thinking, adapting. To me, this keeps me sharp, you know, learning new skills, understanding business better. So creating these entrepreneurship type roles, it challenges me. And I think that to me is fulfilling. I mean, it's a bit self-serving, but this is me being honest. This is me about what I enjoy, about the things that I enjoy about the entrepreneurship. I guess with regards to, you know, Simply Pinot and Black Octopus and what they provide, I enjoy the fact that, you know, we can indirectly help others. I mean, we take, again, like I said before, we take so much pride in our quality and craftsmanship that there's a huge sense of accomplishment when others see, you know, that attention to detail, and they take the risk on buying your product or one of your products, and then, you know, hopefully they buy another product and another product. So those are very rewarding aspects of the entrepreneurship process, in my opinion.
For sure. Yeah, you know, I worked in CFAB for quite a while.
Yes.
And that was the same thing. You know, it's the process or the orthodontist letting go of a device that has been started and having someone else finish it. But once you've done it once and you've done a great job, it's clear sailing. But it's that one step every time.
It's always that one step. Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that.
What wisdom do you have to other fellow Pinot professionals that are thinking to branch out in some other sort of venture?
I think if I can impart any wisdom, I would say plan. Planning is going to be a huge component if you are looking to start up new business or, you know, a new startup venture. You know your market. You're going to want to understand the market. I know, you know, when I started BioDesign, I didn't really realize, what that looked like when I did start. I moved in and I thought, oh, I'm going to open my doors and, you know, this is going to be great. And, you know, people are going to come and they're going to need my services. And, you know, I think there was, you know, several times that I thought, oh my God, we're gonna have to wind down BioDesign and close the doors. You know, a year had passed and, you know, we were scraping by. So I think that the more planning you can do, I think that that'll, afford you a little less stress going into this. You know, I think you need a strong stomach. I think you need to understand the risk and the rewards with regards to a startup. You know, one may consider buying into a business that's already been established. You know, obviously there's rewards and also potential risks to that too, but I think it gives you an opportunity to at least be a little bit more stable and comfortable moving into an operation that has been established.
And I think too, the other thing is that when going into something like this, that you have to be aware there, this, you're taking a chance of, to some degree, and you just have to be able to, as you said, stomach that. You have to be aware that, you know, you're taking a bit of a chance here.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. You need to be able to stomach that. And again, I think having some level of planning, financial backing, and I think it's important. I think it's important to be able to know when to wind down something too. If things, you know, aren't going correctly, you know, how long do you sit on that venture, or do you sit on that prototype, or that like you said, that one-off design? How long do you sit on that? How much do you invest in that? I think it's important to know also too when to wind things down and say we've tried. I don't think that means giving up, but I think it means moving on with regards to a different approach or a redesign or something like that. And I think that's people get so attached and it's their baby. It's hard to give up your baby. It's hard to say, okay, you know what, this isn't working. So I think it's important it comes back to that strong stomach, in the sense where you need to know when the smart time to wind it down. It did, you tried, didn't work, move on. So,
mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean you're a failure at all.
No, 100% not. That, in fact, shows a great deal of success right there, that, you know, you went out and you tried that. And again, it doesn't mean that you failed. It just means you've realized that it's time to move on to something different. You haven't lost that entrepreneurship kind of voice telling you, you know, keep going. It's just that you've shifted.
And you're just going to go in a different direction. That's all.
Right.
Okay, what about some of the younger professionals that are out there, or just even to think about some of the students that are about to graduate from the P&O colleges? Same sort of advice, or?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the advice that I can provide that is, the P&O profession is a wonderful profession. There's a lot of wonderful people in the profession. I've met a lot of great friends through the P&O community, through events like the OPC conference, but also through volunteering. Volunteering, it actually provided me access to different business minds, where then you can then capture or take in advice or knowledge from different individuals that have been in the P&O community that have startups or have businesses. So, I mean, volunteering, I think, would be a good thing to get into. I also, with regards to, I mean, I look at a lot of the provincial funding agencies, and, you know, there hasn't been any changes to those schedules for a number of years. And again, in the current economic environment that we're in now, I mean, with OrderPed, I mean, you see these changes in material costs almost on a day-to-day basis. I know, working with you and Simply P&O and the support you've provided Simply P&O, I understand more what you guys face with regards to these changes. And this becomes really challenging as a P&O community, as a P&O profession. You know, really, when we are advocating for price increases or provincial funding increases, we're doing this on behalf of the clients, because if we can't afford to operate, then that's worrisome, you know, with regards to what will happen to the P&O community in the future. So
you're exactly right. We got into this field, I know you did, I did, because we ultimately did want to help people. We wanted to do something that we felt was a need. We wanted to do something that at the end of the day we could feel good about. Yeah, we were able to get that patient up walking again or whatever.
Right.
But at the end of the day too, we have a life, we have a family, we need to make a living.
Right.
Okay, and with that, thank you very much for listening to this episode. I'd like to thank Jesse for stopping by to talk to us. Of course, if you have a show or topic for future episodes, you can email us at positiveoutcomes@orderpet.ca. New episodes are released every other Thursday at positiveoutcomes.ca, wherever you get your podcast. Positive Outcomes is a production of OrderPet ULC in conjunction with our partners, produced by Jonathan Stone and hosted by myself, Jeff Newell, and Simon Beale. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.